Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, flights are grounded across America, but at least you have a gay Secretary of Transportation. Got Pete Buttigieg, who's in charge. We go deep, though, into how wokeism is incompatible with merit and competency. And then Michael O'Fallon joins our program to talk about how travel is in the crosshairs of the World Economic Forum. A very interesting, compelling, and unique argument. I think you're going to love it. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We have a lot of news to get to, but let's dive right into it. I want to play Cut 52. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, is having a tough day for millions of people that are trying to travel across the country. They have been grounded. Flights have been suspended. Now, there are some flights being resumed, thankfully, but there are still over 10,000 flight delays across the country. Let's play Cut 52.
The FAA tweeting, it is, quote, experiencing an outage with its notice to air missions system, which provides critical flight safety operation information. We are closely monitoring the situation, which impacts all airlines, and working with the FAA to minimize disruption to our operation and customers. We encourage customers to check AA.com for the latest flight information.
Now, the question that many people have is, what is causing this? Is it some sort of a cyber attack? Is it a hack? It could be. The government is saying it's not, but it could be the Chinese Communist Party retaliating against the House Republicans that have just set up a subcommittee that is expressly anti-CCP. And by the way, I don't know if the House Republicans are going to be able to keep up this pace, but they are posting win after win after win. Could be that they're just getting all the conservative stuff out of the way first, or it could be that a new boss is in Washington, D.C. in the House of Representatives, because the amount of wins that we have seen in the last 24 hours makes anything that Paul Ryan and John Boehner did seem like almost nothing, from committees to kicking people off committees. Elon, the ingrate, Eric Swalwell, the Fang Fang lover, and many others. We're going to get into that. But it could be the Chinese Communist Party is retaliating via a cyber attack against the FAA NOTAMs system because of that committee. That is probably unlikely, though. We have no evidence of that. It's pure speculation. It's trying to connect one event to the other. I'm not willing to discount it, but I don't think that's the case. Instead, what is more likely is, who's in charge? Well, the person who's in charge of the Department of Transportation was picked solely because of his sexual preference. Pete Buttigieg was a failed presidential candidate. He probably should have won Iowa. Now, hilariously, Pete Buttigieg was robbed of an Iowa caucus victory speech because of machine failures. Do you remember this? In the Democrat primary in January of 2020 in Iowa, remember, it was machines that were unable to count votes effectively? Really makes you think. January 2020, Pete Buttigieg was the hottest presidential candidate, but a lot of his momentum seemed to just be hijacked and taken away. Anyway, so Pete Buttigieg, who is nothing more than a spokesperson for a Huxleyan, dystopian, technocratic, machine-centered agenda, he'll do whatever the technocrats wish and what they want. He was selected because of his sexual lifestyle choices. So when you hire personnel based on lifestyle or melanin content, you should not be shocked. No one should be surprised when things start to fall apart. This is affirmative action at the top level. We said that with Pete Buttigieg. And by the way, Pete Buttigieg took all this time out to allegedly like try to breastfeed his adopted kid. The whole thing is so, I don't know if it's adopted or if it's a surrogate kid. I don't want to speak out of turn, but chest feed is what they called it. Pete Buttigieg, being head of transportation secretary, has been a repeated and flagrant effort to try to show you that the norms of having people in positions of power based on competency or experience, we are retiring that tradition. Instead, we're going to have someone that has sexual preferences that are in alignment with what the regime wishes. They're prioritizing characteristics that are completely and totally irrelevant. Now, the FAA currently has no head. Now, the FAA is a division of the Department of Transportation, has no head because Biden put a nominee up, Philip A. Washington, a black man, who has no qualifications whatsoever. He drew scrutiny from people in both parties over his aviation experience and an involvement in a corruption inquiry. So Biden keeps on putting up these affirmative action selections, Philip Washington, Pete Buttigieg, and we should be shocked. We should be somehow surprised when our critical infrastructure falls apart. You see, remember we had that Sam Brinton, the luggage thief, who was running our nuclear waste, nuclear energy part of the Department of Energy, something like disposal of nuclear waste. Disposal, got it. We have the rear admiral of the Levine, whatever, that entire clown show. The guy who's running the monkeypox response is some quasi, I don't want to speak out of turn, but quasi like Satanist kink fetishist. Very strange. You see, this virus of synthetic progress has taken over every major institution. And so now we're at a place where our country, what we needed just to be able to operate to get planes in the air, are put in jeopardy because we have surrendered the conversation and the narrative to the alphabet mafia. Let's go to cut 53. What is NOTAMs? What exactly is going on here? Play cut 53.
He says apparently this grounding is because of, and this is an acronym for something I've never heard of before, NOTAMS, which is a non-emergency advisory system to notify pilots before they take off about issues that will impact the flight. Apparently that thing right now is down. The big question is why?
It's very important that we emphasize that wokeism and merit are incompatible. They cannot coexist. In fact, they are opposites. They are distinct polar opposites. Western civilization is the wealthiest, most prosperous, most decent human experiment in self-government in the history of the human species. Why? Because there was an elevation always of the human being over immutable tribal characteristics. We don't care what your skin color is. We don't care what your sexual preference is. Can you do the job? This is a very simple thing that most Americans agree with, and it is over. Remember, this that came from your taxpayer-funded dollars from the Smithsonian magazine that said the aspects of white culture, having a strong family, they say, is white culture. Having the scientific method, competition, Protestant work ethic, religion, status, power, and authority, showing up on time. This is the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. And the Biden regime does not seem as if that they are not communicating like this is a mistake. This is progress. They're basically trying to tell you without saying it bluntly, guys, who cares if you can't fly around? We have a gay transportation secretary. Look at how advanced we are. Look at how enlightened that we are. This is going to happen with our military. We can't get planes in the air. How are we supposed to fight the Chinese Communist Party? Let's have a head of the FAA who's a black dude who has no idea what he's doing. We have a gender non-binary head of nuclear waste disposal. We have a head of our southern border, Kamala Harris and or Mayorkas, that have no idea what they're doing. Hey, but they do have skin color that fits our narrative. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks, so you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with offer code Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. I think very highly of them. I know their whole team, Glenn, they're terrific. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Friedrich Nietzsche had a quote where he said, every society has a central piety of which you are not allowed to make fun of. That humor cannot penetrate. That there is something that you are not even allowed to mock or to condemn or snare at. You are allowed to mock white straight Christians. You're allowed to mock the Bible. You're allowed to mock Donald Trump. You are allowed to mock conservatives. You're allowed to mock capitalists. You're allowed to mock libertarians. You're allowed to mock Kevin McCarthy. You're allowed to mock all those people. But as you move closer and closer to certain categories, you are not allowed to mock, to have humor against them. And Nietzsche argued that that is how you know what the society actually values at the top of the hierarchy. The closer you get to the central pieties, the closer you are at what is actually running the mission control of society. Now, one of the central pieties that you are not allowed to touch is race. And if I were to give some feedback to conservatives of all colors, but in particular white conservatives, the amount of white guilt, the discomfort that conservatives have, sometimes Christians, about this issue gives you Pete Buttigieg. You might say, what? How does one thing lead to the other? When you have a fake issue that you are somehow uncomfortable to respond to because you might be called a racist or you might be called a bigot, then all of a sudden, their dangerous solution is able to be slid in. I'll give you an example. I was reading a book, and I am going to read this paragraph on air. I just forgot to bring it to the studio. And it's a book about why you need to unhurry your life. It's actually a very well-written book. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's not that well written. It has a lot of wisdom in it. It's by this guy, John Comer, who's a cool kid pastor from Portland. Given it to it by a dear friend of mine. He said, Charlie, read the book. I'm getting a lot out of it, except for the fact he humble brags through the whole thing. It's literally about slowing down your life. It's some great arguments in there, a lot of wisdom. And out of nowhere, on page 67, he says, now, it might be very hard to unhurry your life if you are not a white, cisgendered, heterosexual Christian man. I said, what the... where did that come from? I'm reading a book on how you need to slow down your life. And he says one of the ways that you might struggle to unhurry your life is if you're a black person, that you're privileged to be able to slow down your life. And I say, what? And I recognize at that moment, it's a book on a completely different topic. Completely different topic. That all of a sudden he introduces identity politics into it. And I actually think he believes it. He believes that white people have some sort of institutional privilege. And it is a lie. It's not just a little lie. It is a racist, bigoted lie. And because he lives in Portland, he is surrounded by so many white people that are afraid to speak truth about race that, hey, it's actually not about skin color. Maybe it's about fatherlessness or some very serious issues with black culture. Can't say that. No, you just got to blame the white guy. And the failure to reject the premise, the inability to push back on the big lie, then gives the left, gives the collectivists a green light to be able to implement the garbage of putting Pete Buttigieg in charge. You might say, who are they? The they is the regime. This is very important. Rich people that want to continue their plunder on the middle class use abstract academic ideas to distract from the fact they're stealing your money. That's wokeism. Wokeism is smokescreen. Wokeism is a synthetic layer that has been put in front of our discussion so that they continue to have institutional and media power. You could call it a shield. You could call it the Iron Dome of wokeism. And so instead of talking about the fact that we do not have a functioning airline network, FAA, no. We have to celebrate that Pete Buttigieg is gay and chest feeds in charge of the FAA. Most conservatives are afraid to say that out loud because they don't want to be called anti-gay. How about this? I'm pro-competency. I'm pro-merit. I'm pro-people being able to fly from Phoenix to Dallas without having to wonder whether or not the NOTAMs system is going to be operable. The greatest, wealthiest country ever to exist in the history of the world will cease being that if we stop prioritizing competency and instead elevate completely insignificant characteristics. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. Mike Lindell is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that work. I know it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code KIRK. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special and use promo code KIRK. That's MyPillow.com. Use promo code KIRK or call 800-875-0425. That is MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. Joining us now is Michael O'Fallon from Sovereign Nations. Michael, welcome back to the program. Thank you for making time on short notice. So, Michael,
pleasure.
You told me a couple weeks ago, you said, Charlie, expect changes in travel because travel means freedom. We are now seeing major issues. I don't know if it's intentional or a cyber attack or what it is, but it does play into your warning, your premonition, that there are going to be massive disruptions in travel. Why would the world's elites care about travel?
Well, freedom of movement, just like everything. You know, let's think about some of the things that are happening around us right now. When we talk about the fact that the state of New York and as well other systems are going after gas ovens, right? The whole idea is that with a gas oven, not with all of them, but with a good portion of them, is that you can start a gas oven yourself. If you have gas, you can cook your own food. There's no centralized authority that can tell you we're going to switch off your electricity, which is where they want to move everybody, you know, across the nation. It's the same thing that's happening, let's say, in Europe in terms of food, with the production of food and so forth. If you eliminate the ability for people to grow their own food, for farmers to be able to then distribute that food, if the state takes over that food and then has control, then you funnel everybody into a one decision side of things to where they have to rely upon the government to be able to give them permission or not give them permission to be able to eat or enjoy the fruits of their labor. The same thing would be happening with the freedom of movement. Most of everything that you can see happening around you right now is funneling us towards a point where, once again, we have a de facto credit system being put in place, much like what you would have in China.
Yes.
As you are aware, China, depending on your behavior, whether you've been saying good things about the government, whether you've been doing what you can to be a good citizen, either you can jump on that train that goes to Shanghai at 12, or maybe you can't. You know, maybe you can stay in that five-star hotel, but maybe you've been saying some critical things about Xi Jinping, maybe you can't. Well, the same sort of systems are coming to us here in the United States based upon environmental, social, and governments. Are you someone who's taken care of making sure that your carbon footprint is low? making sure that you're doing what you can do to help the social causes that are going around us. Social justice, critical social justice, making sure that disparities within our civilization are lessened. And as well, are you obeying the government? So these systems have to be put in place. But first, what you must do is you must disrupt and dismantle the old systems. You must break the old systems. Mm. Once you break the old systems, it gives you the opportunity to put new systems in place. And so whether it be what's happening today, which started, I guess, more or less last night within the air travel industry, where it's basically unprecedented. You haven't seen a complete shutdown of things since, what, 2001. So in 2001, you saw a complete shutdown for about 4 to 5 days before the reinstatement of travel. You saw, again,
because
more
of 9/11,
less,
correct? Basically. Yeah. Okay.
But even during COVID, they didn't completely shut down air travel because people still had to get to where they need to go, especially Antifa protesters in 2020 before the election of Joe Biden. So you had to make sure that people were able to get from one side of the country to the other. But now what you're doing is you're moving the entire industry. And if we had time, we could go into how hotels, how airlines, how cruise travel.
This is really important. And I want to also boost your credibility here, Michael. You were and are in the elite travel industry for decades. I mean, you help create incredible experiences that bring five-star trips of people all across Europe and Asia. You are, I feel like this is an underservice to your career, but you know the travel agent world. Am I summarizing that correctly? I mean, you know what, you've worked with the big hotels, you work with the big airlines, you sit on the major boards. And so explain that a little bit more, Michael, because you're not just saying this as a spectator. You've actually been in the rooms where some of these ideas have been proposed.
Right. Since about 2003, I've been fully involved within the cruise industry, the tour industry, the convention and event industry. I've been at all the major meetings, whether it be IMEX, which happens in Frankfurt or in Las Vegas, at IBTM recently in Barcelona, where the main focus of IBTM was, hey, everybody's got to get on board with ESG. And as well, you might want to start guiding all of your clients towards hyper-real travel or virtual travel. So they're basically telling travel agents that you need to prepare your customers to not be thinking about traveling so much within the next 8 to 10 years. So this has been going on really and being talked about loudly within the travel industry since about 2009, but much more so since 2015 and 2016 with the rollout of the 17 sustainable goals that would be reaching us or propelling us towards 2030. So within the entire travel industry, most of the major travel providers to some extent are controlled by, which we would just say the controlling boards or board positions would be with BlackRock, Vanguard, or State Street.
Right. So I guess the question is then, Michael, didn't mean to interrupt, but if BlackRock is trying to change travel, why are they investing more into travel? I mean, that's where I'm a little bit confused, right? They're pouring money into hotels and travel experiences. So, I mean, what's the plan or the strategy here?
Well, basically, you look past 2030. First of all, there needs to be everybody in who's committed to doing this and making these systemic changes across all of civilization, everybody has to be on board. So whether you have an airline, whether you have a hotel, whether you're in the automobile industry, you have to be all in with making sure that we disrupt what's currently here and then rebuild according to our new systems. Mm. So it's a long-term project, but what has to happen first is there's short-term pain. So that short-term pain is going from an economy, let's say, of 2019. And Charlie, you remember, 2019 was the economy of abundance. You know, it was the result of the Trump economy that everybody was enjoying. Then all of a sudden, now we're going into an economy of scarcity, where it's difficult to get things, or things are so pricey that only if you can actually afford to buy them. Well, the same thing's happening now in travel, to where airline costs, of course, being able to take a flight, let's say, from Phoenix to Orlando is becoming astronomical. But then also that product is becoming less because less people are going to be able to afford it.
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's the natural curve of things.
So it is, and this is a theme, it is crisis creators. So never let a crisis go to waste, but you have to first have the crisis itself. And we see that with currency. We saw that with COVID. We saw that with the lockdowns. So in some sense, you're arguing that in order for this dialectic to proceed, they need to create a collision. They need to create tension, crisis, bedlam, chaos, uncertainty. Is that your current perspective? And is that what you think is happening this morning? Or do you think what is happening this morning is just good old-fashioned incompetency?
Well, there's always a little bit of both. But what's happening right now is that you're encouraging an incompetency. When you take a look what happened across this nation when it came to our supply chain issues and our logistics issues, is that much of that was created out of policies that are meant to break the system and then recreate the system. Let's say just getting products from, let's say, the port at Long Beach or anywhere in Los Angeles to someplace in the West Coast. Well, what they're after is developing the Chinese system, where at most of the ports in China, either they are already at no worker necessary ports, where there's nobody actually at the port site operating anything, from the trucks to the cranes to unloading, anything else is fully AI automated. So you don't have to worry about longshore unions and so forth.
Wow.
They want to get to that point. They want to get to that point as well with the rest of the travel industry, and as well to make travel a privilege as opposed to something that is a right of freedom of movement that you can earn basically on what money you own and where you want to go.
I've traveled all over the world. I mean, you've done 10 times travel I've done, but I've been to every 50 state twice over. And travel is liberating. I think it cultures you. I think it humbles you. I think it broadens your perspective. I actually think that if you travel enough, you cannot be, well, that's not true. It's very unlikely that you remain a collectivist or a statist. The more cultures you see and the more you realize that decentralized power and sovereign nations are critical. I think there are deeper spiritual dimensions to this beyond just freedom and liberty. I think that a traveling people is an active people. They are a humble people. They are more likely to be connected to the divine. What is the moral importance of being able to have the freedom to travel? What does society look like when they're not able to see other cultures, perspectives, hear other languages, or explore other ideas?
Feudal and siloed. In other words, you don't have the ability to have discourse with other cultures that maybe come into conflict with what you've been raised in or the way that you know things to be. It helps you to expand and to have a greater knowledge of how other people live and other people think. So that invades your cognitions, and it allows you to create discourse with others in order to share the good things that you know, and as well for them to share the things that work for them to be able to find better ways of doing things. When you begin to lock down travel and stop travel, you basically begin to create, again, that feudal system where people that are locked into the way that they think things should be, or they're told the way that they think that things should be. And so that ends up really breaking down our ability to have just natural relations with other people. But yes, as you said, Charlie, being able to go someplace, let's say on a pilgrimage for your faith, like Israel, let's say, that can be so mind expanding because now you're seeing the pages of the Bible come to life. I just brought 200 people to Israel just a few months ago. And what's wonderful to see is that more so in the Mediterranean, most of the countries there are much more free about letting people in currently into their countries than the United States is right now. The United States is the only one that actually still has a vaccine mandate to enter the country.
And it makes you think, I mean, the Soviet Union, I mean, North Korea is the most extreme modern example that we have of what happens when people aren't allowed to leave. I'm not saying that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't want to fearmonger. But the Soviet Union and or other countries that have some variation of either it's too expensive or you're unable to leave your country, it becomes very isolated, as you say, very insular. And it's actually perplexing. And help me understand this, Michael. So here we have the World Economic Forum that's meeting next week in Davos that's going to be talking about globalism and a global world, all the while making it harder to see the global world. Help me understand.
Well, to be able to control people and to control them globally within a supranational context, you need to first control them feudally. In other words, like if you were to go to, let's say, Oxfordshire this past November, is that when you
had to cancel, sorry.
If you arrived there, what you would have seen is that Oxfordshire is being transitioned into a 15-minute city. And so within Oxford itself, they're saying, okay, by August of 2023, if you go by beyond these parameters that we're setting, such as being able to travel more than three or four times a month for these distances, you need to be able to contain your travel within the Shire itself. Well, then there's going to be a price to pay. There'll be penalties for that. Also not letting larger vehicles come into the center of the city and so forth during certain periods. The same thing is beginning to happen right now and being talked about being implemented in London. So a lot of the things that you would have seen during the Extinction Rebellion protests back in 2019, October, are now being implemented in other cities across the UK, Australia, and as well Europe and the United States. So what they're going to try to do is restrict travel, be able to basically, you know, if you want to say this, create sub-nation states or feudal states where people are concentrated and controllable.
Yes, like Hunger Games, so, where you have different districts.
I saw that for the first time last night.
Was that not powerful? I try to tell people, I mean, most people look at the Hunger Games like, oh, wow, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, nice action. There's some very powerful psychological and biblical elements that they just carbon copied into a rather compelling story. But sorry, continue, Michael. The districts in Hunger Games.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they were in District 12. Like, it's fresh in my mind. Yep. Just saw it last night. So what you're basically seeing happen, though, is that the idea of travel will be privileged. And so whether it's not a question of necessarily how much money you have, but what sort of obedience you're putting into place.
That's exactly right.
As we move into a universal basic income.
And let me tell you how this – I had a breakthrough during my multi-day Sabbath when I turned off my phone. I said, how are they going to pay for the debt and all this? They have to raise taxes. In the future, taxes will be decided based on your social credit score. So you could be rich and be exempt. That's why the rich are going to be okay with higher taxes as long as they're obedient to LGBT, ESG. We are going to have tax policy in the future that will be based on your social credit score.
And that's why you're seeing the travel industry begin to conform to that ESG model.
Social credit system. Mao is ahead of the curve, unfortunately, on this. We'll talk about how to fight against that. Michael, I want you on the show next week. So plan on that on the first day of Davos. We're doing a whole special on it because you know that better than anybody else. Michael, God bless you. Sovereign Nations, check it out. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.